Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's happening, Houston? You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Band's all here.
What's happening?
That's John Lopez. I am Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig on ones and twos, as he is always wont to do. And you rolling with us in the great city of Houston or wherever else in the world, whether you're following us along on the Odyssey app, the YouTube page, the Twitch, what are the iHeartRadio app, or what are the other things, your smart speaker, all sorts of various places. We appreciate you rolling with us here on a Monday, technically a Reaction Monday.
So what are we reacting to?
That is the question that I would like to ask. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, appreciation to the Mulcairn Injury Lawyers for the live streams. Both on the YouTube page, as I mentioned, which is Sports Radio 610, and the Twitch chat 610 Houston. I see you, 713. Hey, yo, Reggie, what's happening with you? I hope that you didn't miss me too much. And for those of you that absolutely did not miss me, I apologize for my return. how's your bye week go, gentlemen?
It was fantastic. The thing about it is, and I mentioned this last week with Luke. Shout out to Luke Morrow, who did
a fantastic job and doing an even better job this in the morning today, and he'll do another great job tomorrow as well.
Because I mentioned this last week, and it really kind of came into much more clarity over the weekend. I said, as much as we wanted the Astros in the playoffs, and we're going to talk about the Astros here in a little bit, but it's just kind of more fun watching postseason baseball when you're not stressing.
Oh, my goodness.
When you're not stressing. Same is true with football.
You think so?
Yeah, same is true with football. I enjoyed the weekend of just like red zoning, you know, until my eyes bled and watching games and sort of just thinking about like what this game means versus that game. And it was very much outside of the Aggie game, which, you know, I didn't really stress too much outside of the first couple drives. But it was just like a stress-free, let's watch sports and have some fun.
Yeah, okay. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. How did you approach your bye weekend? And also, what do you feel like you know about the NFL? Because that seems to also tie in with what you were talking about there. You're watching these games. I imagine one from a perspective of just what are the entertaining games that I will enjoy, but then also how do these games then tie back to the Texans? So you're probably, I imagine, as we'll get to around the NFL, you're probably watching and seeing what it looks like when the Seattle Seahawks are taking on, who they play, Jacksonville? Ooh. Again, like what does that look like, right? I do wonder, are you also watching the Ravens and the Rams and trying to see like these former opponents of the Texans, how do those games now compare as we learn more and get more data on those teams? Is that also what you're doing there?
Well, you know, I've never really subscribed to that theory. You could play one team, and then the next week they lose to so-and-so, and they lost to so-and-so. I hate doing that stuff.
Transitive wins are huge. As a college football fan.
It is not huge. They are not huge.
As a college football fan, how are you not always looking at transitive wins?
Well, UCLA beat Penn State, and Penn State beat blah, blah, blah.
That's right. So that means UCLA could beat all of those three teams that Penn
Southern
State managed
Miss,
to get wins
That means
again.
Southern Miss should be in the playoffs.
100%. Absolutely. That's the kind of nonsense football logic that I am here for.
I don't play
But
that
you know
game.
What? The Browns beat Green Bay, too. Yeah, what did that mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Not a damn thing.
Not a damn thing. And this is a preview to the question of the day. It's a week-to-week thing, man. It's a week-to-week thing. But, it was a good weekend. It was a little fishing involved, of course, for me. And that's neither here nor there. But the best part of the weekend for me was sort of, and we'll get into this as well, was sort of gauging where you think the Texans now stack up, and we're going to dig more deeper into that. But the other thing is this weekend of football, I think we got a lot of clarity on really, even with the Texans not playing, on who's where and who looks like they're the teams to beat.
Yeah, if you want to speak on that, I would like to start with Sunday Night Football last night. As I asked, you know, what do you feel like you know about the NFL? Are we doing the Kansas City is back yet? Like, are you there with that? They got a victory last night versus, who did they play again last night? Oh, the Lions. That's right. I was like, it's a blue team. And it is indeed the Detroit Lions. That was a 30-17 victory. Haven't even gotten the full return as Rashi Rice, that week six was the last week of his suspension. So he'll be back after this. Patrick Mahomes out here dealing. That run game looks like it's back.
They're throwing hands.
Well, that was more about Brian Branch, which, okay, so if you were not watching Sunday Night Football, if you decided to turn in early, obviously, as I mentioned, the Chiefs got a victory, moved themselves to 3-3, pulled the Lions back down to 4-2. So again, the Chiefs, one of those teams that feels like they're good, not great, as it feels like all the teams are around the NFL right now. But Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the team, goes to try and, you know, after the game,
shake someone's hand.
Is he a safety linebacker? Safety. And Brian Branch just kind of walks past him. Patrick Mahomes taps his arm. Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver for the Chiefs, goes to also try and dap Brian Branch up.
Juju
and
at that point, a little bit.
Brian Branch was like slapped directly in the ear hole as if to say, I ain't trying to hear none of that. Plus, I know who you are. Right? I know who you are. And I say that in particular because people are like, yo, what happened there? Was it because Pat Mahomes? No, apparently there was a nasty crack block that was landed by Juju Smith-Schuster on Brian Branch earlier in the game that I did not notice. And I was like, oh, someone did not take kindly to that and to the fact that they lost. I imagine that you don't do that if you're Brian Branch if you won that football game.
Yeah, no, I and plus he was chattering a little bit. If you look at the kind of the bigger picture, the view that they showed, he was chattering a little bit, then kind of put his hand out, and that he was having none of that. He was having none of that at all. To your first question, am I in a place where the Chiefs are back? 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the Chiefs, man.
That offense kind of humming now, man.
100%. That is a scary 3-3. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be scary. That's where I am with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think I'm about there, right? They're clicking. One of the phrases that I love using is institutional knowledge, and you're seeing that come back, especially with the connection between Pat and Kelsey. Kelsey had 78 yards in that game. And then they're just kind of running the ball better, which was one of those things that it felt like they didn't have. Yep. Actually, what's funny is the thing that I have a hold up with Kansas City is actually the defense isn't as good. So I do wonder if that balance works out, because if you get that offense back to what it looked like the last couple of years, but that defense isn't the same monster, I'm interested in what that is. I will now turn again to the text line. Somebody said Colts literally beat potatoes. Oh, okay. So we're just doing there's a number of people doing the Colts are mid. Which we will visit when we go around the AFC South here in a second. But that's one of the things that people feel like they know in the NFL, and maybe the things that they were watching.
I feel like we get cussed out if we say, oh, they beat the depleted Baltimore Ravens or they beat the Tennessee Titans. We could do that all day long, though.
It's a constant haterade, you know. Oh, they're frauds. They haven't beaten. They're 4-1, 5-1, right? 5-1. They have the best record in the AFC. So –
they beat the team.
Sorry, just hearing you say it out loud.
Yeah.
Say it one more time for me.
They have the best record in the AFC.
What?
They have the best record.
What is 2025?
Yeah.
Hey, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what you're supposed to do. Did the Texans? You know, all due respect, and we're thinking.
And they played two tough teams early on, but they lost to Jacksonville too, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are two competing ideas of how you handle your bye week weekend that we just had this weekend. From the 713, I didn't have to worry about Manchester United or the Texans or the Astros this weekend, so stress-free. Okay. I appreciate that. But someone else was like, I can't watch if my team is not playing, so they went and did something productive.
Yeah.
I think both of those are valid, interestingly enough. I was interested in how many people are like that latter text that were like, actually, my team was not playing, so I also took a bye week.
It was one of those where maybe you could have gotten some honeydews in and said, baby, I'm doing it for you.
I don't feel like watching football this week.
That's right. You know, this is a you weekend. Let's just do that. Let's just do that. What was the eye-opening thing that maybe, you know, I guess the Chiefs would be on the list, that because there were a couple things for me where I went, oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay.
Hit me with one. I'm interested because there's a number of people talking about Seattle. That's going to be the conversation that we have the entirety of this week. But what was one of the ones that came to mind? Because it seemed like one of those definitely jumped into your mind.
Yeah, Steelers.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was actually going with Baltimore, man. They might be done, man.
Well, stay tuned on that one.
Which is a little scary, too. Yeah. I mean, if you kind of moving forward, that's a little bit scary.
But. Yeah. The Steelers, 4-1, a little bit of separation. A lot. They're going to win the AFC North.
Yeah, and with the Steelers, it's just I keep bouncing back and forth on what is this Aaron Rodgers thing, actually? It's kind of funny because it seems so long ago that we were doing the will they, won't they for so long with Aaron Rodgers. And he's doing what Aaron Rodgers typically seems to do, 235, two touchdowns, finding a whole bunch of DK Metcalf, as you might expect. It feels like that's a team that is a Mike Tomlin special. They are out here doing what they do, getting things done, and stacking wins.
Yeah, and the other one was the Patriots. I mean, we're kind of doing an impromptu around the NFL here, but I think it's relevant to the Texans simply because, this is a team that's ahead of you and is looking like a playoff team.
Oh, in the standings. Yeah. That is fair. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I feel like I know about the NFL, which is there aren't any just flat great teams, but there are a lot of teams that are in this group of good. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to decide if that's good or bad for the Texans. Obviously, you started off the season in a way that you did not want to at all, starting 0-3. Yeah. You now are 2-3, headed into your week 7 matchup versus the Seattle Seahawks. And the idea that there's no great team is probably solid in that everybody's in this muck. Teams have to lose by the nature of, games are going to be played. Mm-hmm. Someone has to lose. So you're closer to the larger pack, but the pack is also very big.
Yeah.
So there's more bodies. If I'm thinking about this as like a marathon, there's more bodies for you to navigate to get back to that, to get to that spot up in the front of the line where you ultimately want to get to.
And speaking of impromptu, this isn't the question of the day, but it did cross my mind as I'm listening to you. What was the most bye week thing you did this weekend?
Oh, that's fun.
What 713. Was the most bye week thing you did this week?
572-4610. As I'm sure you all know by my absence, and I feel like you probably said it on the air last week, I went to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just was not in town at all. So that was very bye week of that bye week. And funny enough, was not planned. It was not planned going in to the season. Like, oh, well, there's my week off.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it was weird. I think that I realized about myself in a way that I did not anticipate, honestly. I really get disgusted by the side of that Tennessee Titans logo.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
It's so swaggerless.
So the most bye week thing I did was I spent the weekend down in Galveston, in Jamaica Beach with some friends, and they said, "Hey, do y'all want to go see the sunset?" I went, "Yeah, let's go see the sunset."
Is that typically a thing that you go, "Nah, I'm good. I've seen it before. Good.
We got baseball, we got this, we got that. We got football." And so we got in the little cart and went and saw the sunset. And I'm like, all right, it's bye week. Let's go watch the sunset. Shopping, of course. Honeydews, of course, is probably on the list as well.
I think I kind of kept my Sunday normal a little. I did watch Red Zone the whole entire time, though.
Mm-hmm.
And probably I might have took a nap or two just in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you usually let yourself take a nap on a Sunday?
Sometimes if it's during the game, Texans game, I'm up watching it. But after the game, then I just kind of chill, put it on Red Zone, and then I might doze off a little bit and wake back up and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was waiting for this one, the 832. I went to church.
Shout out to you, man.
Hey.
I did go to church, too. I hit that early morning service.
Golf, that's another good one right there.
Yeah, that is a good one. That's a good one. I wonder, for those of you that did actually golf, 713-572-4610, were there more people out there because of it? Or were you one of the few people who actually made that decision? I guess as opposed to the normal amount of people that typically get out there. I see you, Cornbread, on the YouTube. It's crazy how everybody's amazed by the Texans' record, but most of y'all predicted them to be worse. 2-3 through five games. Point me to the people that believe that the Texans
who did
worse
that
through five games.
I think I said 11, didn't I?
A total?
11 wins.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how many people picked these Texans to be. Are you talking about qualitatively worse? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not even sure about that. I think the average view of what the Texans would have been coming into the season was great on defense, which check, and then solid okay on offense, which I don't know that we have a good idea of. I think that's also one of the things that the bye week kind of showed me. there's more promise on offense than maybe we had given credit for a little bit, but also I don't know how much to believe with that. I think that's where we come back to that Rams-Ravens game that was watched. I think the Rams ultimately put, 17 points on the Ravens, and that's a Rams team that we look at as, you know, being pretty solid. And you go, this was a team in the Texans that put up, 40 burger on that Baltimore team. Like, does that, again, transitive? I know that you don't typically go to that, but what do you make of that?
That's one way I watched this weekend in terms of through Texans goggles, because the offense, as bad as the Ravens defense is and everything, it's still produced at that level, you know? And so that was important to me.
The Ravens did get a few of their guys back. They weren't as depleted, but again, that's a bad defense. So the idea that only 17
points got Kyle Hamilton back. I don't know how much of a difference that makes.
A lot. He's very good at football.
He's definitely good. 281 went to the farmer's market and a winery with his missus. Good for you. Good for you.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just with that being the case, it becomes less frustrating just altogether. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things I learned just about myself, not even in the sports realm of this all, is, this idea that I'm just going to be out and about, but I'm going to watch games on my phone. I'm not actually as good at that as I thought I was.
I did that some when we were watching the sunset.
You were like, I watched the sunset, but I'm not committed to
this. But I did have the game on my phone.
See, I don't even be doing that. I just kind of look at the score. I do a score check.
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, it's beautiful. Ah! Then I'm screaming at the phone. But I did, technically I did go. I was just, kind of grunting and stuff on the phone. But
grunting at the phone. Okay, very good. Somebody said this earlier, and I kind of want to, you know, get your thoughts on this. It's all tied into this Tampa Bay game where Tampa looks like a fantastic football team. Mm-hmm. They get a 30-19 victory over the Niners. And during this, there's a huge play in which Baker Mayfield stands in the pocket, steps up perfectly, throws a dime to Tez Johnson, who catches this, gets his first NFL touchdown. This is him after the game talking about the experience on the field.
I'll tell you a funny story. This is crazy. When I score and I hit MVP chant, I'm thinking they talking about me. So I asked Shep. I'm like, Shep, they was chanting MVP? And he was like, yeah. I was like, I ain't do nothing this year. And then he was like, they talking about Baker, Tez. And I was like, well, that explains it. But he is the MVP. The one he got the first down on, he said he blacked out. But, I mean, that's just Baker. The pump fake get everybody. I'm just like, oh, my God, he's a dog. Like, I don't know what he eating. He's putting in cereal before the game. Like, but that guy on it every single week.
I don't know if that guy's just that naive or that confident in himself. Like, I caught a ball. I'm MVP.
Clearly they talking about me.
He did say, I ain't do nothing this year.
I didn't do
anything. He was honest on that part.
Is Baker your MVP right now?
Oh, 100%.
100%?
100%, given the way that he's not just put up the numbers and won big games, but like comebacks, et cetera. Baker to me is right now, and it changes obviously, but right now he's the MVP.
Right. Nobody's actually, giving an MVP award in week six or after week six. Baker has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, I just pulled up the odds per DraftKings just to kind of juxtapose this. Baker has the third best odds after Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes only just coming back into looking incredible, and maybe that's not fair because that's the entirety of his defense. Josh Allen has been steady in the way they've gone about things. Baker's been making the big plays, and MVP isn't typically an award that, you know, context is how the way that we look at this, where we go, what was our priors coming in?
Yeah.
However, it feels like that might be doing a little bit of a bounce for Baker Mayfield here.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, and this is the other thing, people use the term dog way too often. That dude is a dog.
Well, funny enough, it's less about the dog, even though he definitely did. He had like a scramble where
that was big.
And steps up, trash. Spins, reaches for the first down marker, and is able
was
to
get
something. Was
it that third and 15?
Yes. There was no business getting that. Yeah. For me, it's like you could see that he is a veteran quarterback. I don't know what the threshold is for this is a veteran, a vet now. You could see it with him. The times when he decides to step up, the times when he decides to hold on to the football or pull it down. He does that perfectly.
He's playing smart now.
He's playing very smart. Mm-hmm. Which is a great pair with his bravado, let's say. Yeah. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Monday. That is the weird reaction Monday that we decided to put together to start the show. Rock with us, though. 713-572-4610. Coming up next, as we do on a reaction Monday, let's react to the AFC South. Let's go around the AFC South. We will do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the AFC South here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Again, the number to text 713-572-4610, where some of y'all on your bye week quad viewed NFL games on YouTube TV. Oh, you was living the life. You were living like me. I appreciate that. Somebody also said they went to the Houston Farmers Market for the bye week, walked around eating fruit and drinking coffee, ready for Monday. That sounds delightful. And in my brain, I was like, I would like a study of how does productivity change on a coming off of a bye week versus coming off of a like an NFL game weekend?
Oh, you got work done, man.
I feel like people are just, do you feel better going into this Monday just because you know you did not only did you didn't win, you didn't lose, you just didn't even have to worry about it, you know?
Yeah, and then I think the other thing is too, when you just sit around Saturday and Sunday, let's be honest, Saturday and Sunday, just watching sports, you feel like you ain't do anything.
Yes.
You probably got some laundry done this weekend.
It's just
weekend.
Like, man, I sat on this couch for 2 days.
You ain't grocery shopping.
Do anything.
It's so funny you said that yesterday. You know, we're kind of just doing that, just like sitting, staring at each other, watching, you know, some games. And my wife goes, I want to do something. I said, sure, whatever you want to do. You know, it's bye week, whatever you want to do. Well, I don't know. Well, whatever you want to do, anything, literally anything. I don't want to watch TV for 7 hours. Okay, what are we going to do? And then you start drawing blanks. You're like, well, I don't know. That doesn't sound, well, that's too far a drive. And this is this.
Oh, you were basically on the Netflix menu like, we could watch anything. And you end up watching nothing. From the 281, spent the weekend trying to figure out how Anthony Richardson got injured without even playing. That we will exhibit or we will at as we go around the AFC South. And as you know, gentlemen, it's a choose your own adventure in this. So where would you like to start as we go?
Never bury the lead. South? Never bury the lead. Got to start with the Colts, man.
The Indianapolis Colts, the AFC leading Indianapolis Colts, 5-1 as they got a victory over the Arizona Cardinals, 31-27. Pretty close one there. As you heard there in that text, that text that came in, quarterback Anthony Richardson was not the quarterback two in this game because he was declared inactive after suffering an eye injury during pregame band work, according to Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero.
I saw it from a distance, that thing just popping back at him, like, ah, just right at him. It broke his orbital bone.
It's serious. Mm-hmm. My thought was, I had not considered the possibility of those things happening. Like, I had never, like, there's a level of trust that we put in various things, you know, various consumer goods and systems that we just go, yeah, it's fine. I expect that to work. Yeah. Hell, I just flew on 3 airplanes this weekend. That you just go, I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah.
When you think about the fact that, oh no, these things can fail at times, it really does change your relationship.
Yes, it does. It does.
I guess the bigger thing, and I think I saw Clint Sterner tweet this over the weekend. Boy, Anthony Richardson's got to have the worst luck over the last at least couple. Because I don't know that he's just inherently unlucky, dude. He won the genetic lottery big, fast, and you know he's been able to parlay that into a lot of money in the NFL, even before what we probably would have imagined him should have been given, especially we only saw so much at Florida and all that.
Yeah.
But since then, the luck has been really, really poor for that dude.
Yeah, it has. But the luck for the Colts has been, well, they're making their luck. That's the thing that worries me about the Colts. This isn't like, oh, they're frauds. Look at their schedule. Who have they played? They've caught some breaks.
Well, the who have they played actually did come up a lot this
week. It did.
The thing is, that's keeping them in the way.
Yeah.
That's keeping them in the way. I'm not saying they're going to get to a Super Bowl or anything like that, but right now they're in the way because they keep winning against these bad teams or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, 100%. But I don't necessarily buy it because I feel as if they're just – when you – this is a trust-your-eyes thing. they don't just have Jonathan Taylor, who's outstanding, and they have a run game. You know, they have the whole thing. They don't just have Daniel Jones playing his best football. They have receivers playing, you know, above what you expected football. They don't just have like an overwhelming, in-your-face Texans kind of defense. You can see they just strangle people. They're just very efficient and good defensively. You know, they have all the elements, and that's what would be a worry.
Yeah, of note, Daniel Jones, 22 of 30 for 212 yards, threw two touchdowns. Second straight game with two passing touchdowns, and fourth game of the season where he had two-plus total touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Daniel Jones. We said this when they brought him in. When he is next to a run game that is sufficient, he can be this kind of guy, and you can see it when he is operating an offense. He's not operating outside of himself. He's doing what is reasonable to expect of him, which, of course, is a credit to Shane Steichen and the way that he calls this offense. The actual style of play seems, you know, it seems like it's something that can carry on. It's something that can be replicated. I do wonder, as the opponents change, if that does change. But you add up five wins through six, that's not anything to scoff at. And you talked about the run game. That was notable in this. I know that we look at Arizona and we go, that's not a very good team. Jonathan Gannon has been a good defense coordinator in his past. And Arizona had been pretty stout versus the run coming in. Like, all, I think, of various metrics that I was looking at yesterday, they were like in the top 10, top, you know, third of the league run stopping. Jonathan Taylor put out 21 carries, 123 yards, 5.9 yards per carry, and a touchdown. This is a problem.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Beyond that, they've had other guys step up as well, and the offensive line has been doing its job. I mentioned the receivers. You know, going into the season, you're like, well, you know, Michael Pittman Jr., I don't know, okay. You know, Alec Pierce, okay. They've just Tyler Warren.
That's the one.
The tight end.
There he is.
Yeah, that you know, they just have weapons. I mean, they're producing.
And they're using the weapons well. Yeah. Tyler Warren had led Indianapolis in receiving yards in this game with 6 receptions. And he caught a touchdown for the second straight game. Yeah. Like, if they are learning to use this particular weapon, especially in a league where tight ends create a very interesting mismatch, that's going to be, again, problematic. So shout out to the Colts, who are, again, 5-1. Their next matchup is going to be one. Actually, I'm interested. Do you view this as something that will tell you a little something, even as we know there's a lot of good, maybe not great in the NFL? They are on the road next week at a 4-2 Los Angeles Chargers team. And they're in that, you know, that prime, well, not prime time, but in that very visible mid-afternoon slate at 3 p.m. on Sunday.
No, for sure. We know what the Chargers are, and they tend to maybe shoot themselves in the foot occasionally, but they're a very, you know, explosive team, very well coached as well. No, I think that's a great matchup for a good test.
All right, my bad. I've spent too much time on the Colts. There's a couple more that we can go around the AFC South. Where would you like to go next?
Jaguars.
The Jags. Yeah. They lose 20-12 against the Seattle Seahawks, whose defense looks scary. Mm-hmm. That's a Mike McDonald joint right there. You could point to the Seahawks and what they do well, and we'll talk about that more around the NFL rather. One thing to notice, the Jags had 10 penalties in this game to Seattle 7. Travis Hunter lined up offsides, negated a long touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr., tell me if you've heard this before, dropped a critical third down ball while the offense was trying to mount a comeback.
Yeah.
And then also the kicking game was unreliable. These are things that are kind of interesting juxtapositions with Liam Cohen, who has called a pretty good offense.
No, I think that's what my takeaway is. They got destroyed up front. They got absolutely destroyed up front by the Seahawks. And as you mentioned, we'll get into some of that as it pertains to the Texans as we move along. But despite it all, I mean, I was so wrong on Liam Cohen, at least in the early returns.
Someone tried to tell you about that.
I know. I like the way that he had this team still in the game to the very end. I like the accountability. If you saw the locker room speech afterwards that he was talking about, it wasn't just fluff. He really seemed to, you know, to kind of grasp what the issues were and to try to fix it. I think the Jaguars, they're still going to be a pest.
They are.
They're going to be a pest.
I mean, obviously you can't say this about the Colts, but it feels like the Jags, there is some, you know, returning mm-hmm. to the mean somewhat.
Yeah.
As you're seeing some of the weak spots that they have, teams will continue to try and attack those. Neither team committed a turnover in this game, and the Jags lost, even though they had probably about 7 more minutes of possession mm-hmm. than the Seahawks there. They also get an interesting test. They're going on the road in a big way, as they're technically the home team versus the Rams next week in London, 8:30 a.m. That's a big matchup there that I think will also be somewhat telling. And then the final portion of our around the AFC South, the Titans, they lose to a Las Vegas Raiders team that I don't know that I'm very impressed by. 1-5 Titans, 2-4 Rams. Former Texans linebacker Devin White. I know it's weird for me to say it that way, mm-hmm. but you know what I'm saying. He terrorized Cam Ward in the first half. Strip sack that led to Vegas' first touchdown and an interception near the end of the first half. And that was pretty much all you needed to know. 3 turnovers, and the Titans are who we thought they were. Cam Ward looks like there's some good things clearly there, but mm-hmm. it's not all showing up. And Justin Simmons on the defensive line is very good. Everything outside of that, gross.
Yeah, no, they're don't worry about the Titans. I think the Jaguars are going to be a pest, and the Colts are for real. I mean, that's legit right now.
They are facing off against the Patriots next week. Of course, it's a noon kickoff game, because if you put the Titans anywhere else, we will revolt. All right, there you go. Around the AFC South here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. What are some D'Amico-isms? In fact, what are your favorite and your least favorite D'Amico-isms? 713-572-4610. Let's talk through those next. That's right, Big Voice Man. It is a Reaction Monday. We are reacting to the weekend that was all the way around. There will be some college football reaction as we go through as well. NFL reaction. We were just talking about around the AFC South. We're still reacting to the starts that the Colts and the Jags have gotten. Fair enough to the 713 here, who says the Jags will revert to being the Jags in the end. The Colts will hit the wall once they face better teams. I don't disagree with either of those. Now, of course, revert to the Jags. I think that has an implication that is definitely different now. I think that they're definitely – there's a better baseline for what they are now. But I do think that there will be some kind of regression to the mean for the Jags. I think the Colts they're revving real high, and I think they will come down a little bit, especially as the challenges mount up a little bit as the season goes. But it's a higher bar than we thought the AFC South was going to give you.
That's an interesting question. Let's get to the question of the day here in a second.
Sure.
But just on that point, again, I was the biggest Liam Cohen hater on the planet, and I just think he's got a little something that is going to avoid. What is revert to the Jags? To me, that's like just a bleep show.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to ever be a bleep show this year. They might lose some games because they're just not that good, and they've got, you know, some issues here and there. But I don't think they're going to. Jags are going to jag it, you know?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Question of the day, mind you. Quick, hard turn into this. What are your favorite and least favorite D'Amico-isms? 713-572-4610. This was brought on, actually, by one of our favorite CBS mm-hmm. broadcasts now.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt, I am greatly enjoying them on broadcast. And one of the things that I think CBS is doing really well, which is they're adding digital, like, social media clips mm-hmm. of Ask J.J. Watt, where Ian Eagle and J.J. have even more time to just banter back and forth. They have developed a really good kinship very quickly.
See the picture they posted of him when he was at Wisconsin yesterday?
I missed that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Head and his big fat face and fat
chin
neck.
Strap.
And the chin strap. He's like, what's going on here? It's like, oh, okay.
Anyways, this is them. They were on that Steelers game, were they not,
mm-hmm.
this weekend? This was them talking about a certain coach is isms there in Pittsburgh.
Talking to Mike Tomlin at halftime, his main message was, we have to finish drives with touchdowns, saying we've been stalled for one reason or another. And fellas, I got a new Tomlinism. I'm not really sure what he meant. He said we need to get the loose change out of our lives. It has something to do with touchdowns versus field goals, I think.
We need someone to come in and actually tell us what the Tomlinisms actually mean.
So he's a fan of taking pennies out of circulation, it sounds like.
Oh, that's wow, right. JJ.
What was the one this week that had you in a little bit of a quandary?
He's chew with their mouth closed.
Yeah.
He said the Browns offense chews with their mouth closed.
What does that mean, actually?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Browns offense chews with its mouth closed.
Is it very proper?
I guess they don't show a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that is.
Okay,
like,
maybe that's it. Okay, so that makes sense.
Stone face, it's hard to figure out.
Yeah.
Like where they want to eat, what they're eating.
That's a hell of a compliment.
That's a reach right there. But I think that's where – I do like the kind of loose change thing, though.
What does it mean to you? Because I still ain't figured that one either.
I think that's more like we can't have this field goals, drives that –
We'd rather have the money that folds, not
that
the money
Peter
that jingles.
Yeah,
there you go.
The drives that I'm guessing. I mean, hell, who knows what Mike Tomlin is. But it did get me thinking about D'Amico.
Yeah, I don't think D'Amico is quite as quaint and folksy as it seems like Mike Tomlin is. But 713-572-4610. What are your favorite and least favorite D'Amico-isms to that way? Because, yeah, you started thinking in that way.
Mm-hmm. My favorite D'Amico-ism, and how much has he done it this year? He's done it some, I know. The whole energy vampires.
He hasn't done the energy vampires, but he has talked about energy quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I actually was going to say is, well, actually not that, but something tangential to it was one of my favorites. But yeah, he definitely talks about energy a lot. He's such a people person, man. Like he is, and I appreciate that. I think that too often, especially now in the modern NFL, head coaches, especially ones that come up because they're great offensive play callers, are so much stuck in the X's and O's of things and the schematics, which are absolutely necessary, don't get me wrong, you could lose the human element. It's one of the reasons why I saw Liam Cohen. I was like, he seems like he might actually be good for this.
Yeah.
While being an X's and O's guy for sure, he, in his, not in his introductory press conference, but some of the videos of him walking around walking around the facility, it was very clear that he has a heart for people. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I like about Dan Campbell as well. He is very much a player's coach. And I think that that's one of those things D'Amico absolutely has. Those dudes play for him.
The other D'Amico ism that I was thinking of, by the way, 713-572-4610. And this is kind of hard to just determine, you know, once and for all, this is what he does. But he has that little half laugh when something's really not funny. Like, I don't know if it's like maybe a nervous tick or just a pause in his general delivery when he's talking, but like he could be talking about something serious, like whatever, earlier in the season, the offensive line, you know, something along the lines of, well, we just got to keep grinding, huh? And he kind of laughs, and I'm like, why is he laughing?
He get that. Hey, D'Amico, you guys are 0-4 right now. What do you have to say about your team? the media just going, they going to say whatever they want to say.
Yeah. It's like a little nervous tick almost, or maybe it's just a crutch, you know, verbally, you know, in his discussions.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out because I don't want to reach too far, except I've set it up that way so that I can now go and reach. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it is like kind of a nervous tick where he's trying to kind of protect.
Yeah.
Where my natural reaction is negative, so I'm going to inject a little bit of positivity to cover this up with this chuckle.
Yeah.
I wonder if how maybe. Much that is.
Yeah, there. That might be. Yeah. It.
And I think that that's one of those things that it probably works in smaller doses. Except we hear from D'Amico all.
Yeah,
the
he
time.
Got to talk. He got to talk all the time in a professional setting type deal.
And so it's easy to nitpick.
Yeah, because we do it all the time. I think my wife was telling me how whenever she get in that little struggle, she kind of make jokes.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of joke on herself a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a nervous thing you do when you're nervous a little bit.
Have you noticed anything?
Honestly, one of the things, because I was going back through some of my notes listening to D'Amico talk, one of the things that I like quite a bit, and of course, as I was about to say it, I immediately forgot where I was going to, where he talks about, our guys know that, right? And it's one of those things that, you could just kind of say, but yeah, and our guys know that. But I think that for me, I interpret that as because I've told them.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that also pair that with the ways in which when they get talking points, you can see the talking points come all the way through.
Yeah.
Like the communication that he brings is huge to this team. And so I still appreciate that portion of him as a coach because it's clear that there's messaging is not going to be an issue with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is more of a ism or just kind of just coach talk, but sometimes I don't want to say I get tired of it, but whenever he said, got to clean some things up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one. Right, that was the one.
Oh, like, yeah. All right, man.
Got to clean some things up. Well, we'll get there. Texter says it, and this I should have thought of this. This is a good one. Put a hat on a hat. Put a hat on a hat.
I feel like that one makes sense. And the texter also went a little bit further. You're on the right show because you are also being pedantic, like we like to be. They said he's using it wrong. The phrase means doing something excessively or in redundancy. In that way, like in general parlance, yeah, right? Like you have a hat on, you put another hat on, that's unnecessary. Hat on a hat is actually in football terms, now I sound like a jerk who's trying to explain things. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you are in front of me, my hat is in front of your hat. Right. Yeah. Like I think that's literally that way. So it's like a block, getting guy on guy for blocks so that you have everything blocked up and give your running back or whatever an opportunity to speak.
Speaking of being
just got to clean some things up.
That one gets me. But it really is. It's not just the idea that you got to clean stuff up. It's just the frequency at which we've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, but what point do we actually clean?
And then it's like, oh, okay, if everything was clean, we would have won a game. Huh? Like, right. We look bad out there, man. Yeah. Like, we just got to clean some things up.
And by the way, speaking of being pedantic, isn't hat on a hat illegal?
What do you mean?
It's against the rules to go helmet to helmet.
Fair. Fair enough.
Well, technically it's a helmet. Yeah, it's not a hat. Right.
No, not that part, but like,
if your hat is literally on that hat.
Yeah, you might get a penalty.
Yeah. You should get a penalty. Apparently not if you're Cam Scataboo, mind you.
Oh, God, that guy. He just does not care about himself. He just doesn't care about himself.
Nor does he care about you.
Nor
does he care about crayons, the crayons that he clearly eats for breakfast. Yeah, like that is, whew. As much as I'm enjoying, like the next guy, the Cam Scataboo experience, can we be fair about this? Because you can't just let him launch himself into a torpedo and just keep things pushing just because he's out here all roided up. Like, I don't like that.
Oh, what? He's all what?
Fair point by Brandon Scott, who did a fantastic job filling in for the OG last week. Lopez knows that was not illegal. It was not an illegal term when it was, or it was not illegal when the term was coined.
Well, that is true. But hey, you know.
It is now, though. It is now. A few D'Amico-isms there.
Oh, and then we forgot the main one, and he uses this a lot. And every time, you know what I do? It is what it is.
Is he in this one?
He uses it. Oh, yeah. He uses it.
Man, everybody uses it, but Lopez.
I think
everybody
about it more when CJ says it.
Yeah.
Texans will be fine. Texans are returning to who we thought they were, is what they're saying just about the Texans generally. CJ will be CJ came in. And that, to be fair, that also doesn't mean a lot to me. So fair, I see that. But yeah, there you go. Reggie likes guy on guy. Okay, thank you for that, 713. Appreciate your astute observation.
That's not nice.
On the text line. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL as, man, what a fun weekend it was for a bye week for the Texans. Let's talk about all the things that happened, including, is this fair or foul to a Tagovailoa at the microphone? We'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.